The Old Testament reading for the Transfiguration of our Lord is from Exodus chapter 34. When Moses came down from Mount Sinai with the two tablets of the testimony in his hand, as he came down from the mountain, Moses did not know that the skin of his face shone because he had been talking with God. Aaron and all the people of Israel saw Moses, and behold, the skin of his face shone, and they were afraid to come near him. But Moses called to them, and Aaron and all the leaders of the congregation returned to him, and Moses talked with them. Afterward, all the people of Israel came near, and he commanded them all that the Lord had spoken with him in Mount Sinai. And when Moses had finished speaking with them, he put a veil over his face. Whenever Moses went in before the Lord to speak with him, he would remove the veil until he came out. And when he came out and told the people of Israel what was commanded, the people of Israel would see the face of Moses, that the skin of Moses' face was shining. And Moses would put the veil over his face again until he went in to speak with him. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Epistle is from 2 Peter chapter 1. For we did not follow cleverly devised myths when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For when he received honor and glory from God the Father, And the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased." We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention, as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this, first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 17th chapter. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter and James and John, his brother, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. And he was transfigured before them, and his face shone like the sun, and his clothes became white as light. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elijah talking with him. And Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good that we are here. If you wish, I will make 3 tents here, one for you, and one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He was still speaking when, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell on their faces and were terrified. But Jesus came and touched them, saying, "Rise and have no fear." And when they lifted up their eyes, they saw no one but Jesus only. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus commanded them, "Tell no one the vision until the Son of Man is raised from the dead." This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. The transfiguration of Jesus reveals him in glorious splendor as the beloved Son of God, much in a similar way that we saw in the baptism of Jesus. Kind of near the beginning of this Epiphany season, and here at the end, we have these divine revealings, these epiphanies of our Lord. Here, though, the Father adds something at this event in the life of Jesus, in addition to proclaiming him for who he is. The Father says, "Listen to him." And really, he does this emphatically as these words interrupt Peter's speaking and suggesting he and his fellow disciples should build tents. Peter needs to stop talking. He needs to listen to Jesus. He needs to listen to the beloved Son of God, in whom the Father is well pleased. And really, that is an indictment on us as well, and so much of what we see as Christians living in the world. The Christian is a faith that listens before it speaks. The Epistle of James tells us, "Be quick to hear and slow to speak." And when it does speak, it says back what God has revealed. That is, it confesses the word of God. It listens to Jesus, It listens to his word, because his word is truth, and he has the words of eternal life. So the interesting thing then, too, when you consider the epistle reading today, is how this all fits in. So here's Peter in our epistle reading from 2 Peter. It's the same guy in the gospel reading who was talking, who God interrupted, and in a sense said, Peter, stop talking. Listen to Jesus. And he writes now these words that teach you what the Lord taught him. And so God corrects you, he teaches you, and he comforts you, and all of this as you sit here this morning listening to your Lord. You are taught to listen to God's word as St. Peter wrote, for when he received honor and glory from God the Father, and the voice was borne to him by the majestic glory, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this very voice born from heaven, for we were with him on the holy mountain. And we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you will do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. Knowing this first of all, that no prophecy of Scripture comes from someone's own interpretation. For no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So think about that then, what Peter wrote, and what in turn you hear. So he, along with James and John, witnessed with their own two eyes the transfiguration of Jesus. They were up on the holy mountain. Yet God is teaching you through these words that he inspired him, St. Peter, by the Holy Spirit to write, that you have something more sure, something more certain, something more confirmed than what Peter even saw with his own two eyes. You have the Holy Scriptures. And these are a light which shines in a dark place and illumines it as only God's word can do. And this matters today because you see so many other words which don't lighten the darkness, which only lead to death. By way of contrast, in Ephesians 4, God writes through St. Paul, now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greedy to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. And then goes on to list various sins in this context, which show this darkened lifestyle, which does not listen to God's word. Apart from God, apart from his revelation to us, we walk in darkness. And there's darkness even in our own sinful flesh, and the darkness is all around us. We need God's light. We need this as we go through this world. You know, Vera is the first of our kids that's in our room with us. All the other kids were in a nursery. And so when I get ready in the morning, it's dark. And trying to grope around in the darkness, trying to find what you need is not good. You need light. Otherwise, you hit your toe more times than you would like to think about. And usually the language that comes out of your mouth is good after that, but it's not a fun experience. But we know what it is to face this battle in our life, to go walk in darkness, to battle against our own fallen flesh. And God calls us to crucify that, to crucify that old man, to not walk in darkness. Because as a Christian, you have been transformed. You've been called out of darkness and into the light of life. The old man, though, doesn't like to listen. The old man likes to follow his eyes. He likes to follow his heart. He likes to follow his own opinions and speculations. He likes to think the path of this world is lived by what he may desire and believe in himself. And the world will encourage you in this and even urge you to it further and further away from God's word, deeper and darker into the darkness. And it will have its slogans, its creeds, which you can rally behind. Many of them may sound virtuous and appealing, but they're far from it. You be you, Follow your heart. Love is love. Live your own life. What's true for you might not be true for me. Times have changed. And the list goes on. You know them. You've heard them. You've seen them. You see, our sinful flesh likes a theology by slogan, a theology that we can live according to our liking. And it's tough. And it's only going to get tougher for you as the church. As a Christian, even if everything and every single person around you in your life is telling you something different than what God teaches in His Word, there's no question to whom you are to listen. You listen to Jesus. A quote which is often attributed to C.S. Lewis, but it's unclear if he wrote it, is applicable as we think about this, what Peter teaches us this morning in the Word of God. The quote is, when the whole world is running toward a cliff, he who was running in the opposite direction appears to have lost his mind. Because even you can deceive yourself. Or St. Augustine famously said, if you believe what you like in the gospel and reject what you don't like, it's not the gospel you believe, but yourself. And so too, the devil is tricky. He knows how to wordsmith ideas so that to disagree with them is to sound hateful or unreasonable. He likes to take that with his light and thinks that he can darken it. He likes to try and make you think there's a higher moral, intellectual, or nicer ground to stand on than what the scriptures teach. But remember, the devil is a liar. And we're sitting ducks when we stop hearing the word of God. When you stop listening to the voice of the Lord himself, it's going to get drowned out by the noise around you, to the point that you start believing what you hear in those other words. And the light starts to grow dimmer and dimmer. Because the pulpit of the world is a loud one. It's a fierce one. Listen to Jesus. That's what God tells you today. Just as the Father tells you how to listen to Jesus, is you listen to his word. And God's word enlightens you to this reality of your state in this world, and where, from whom, and whom you are being tempted. So know that God's word is no myth. Myths are just that, they are myths, they're not true, but they're entertaining, they're engaging, and they resonate with people's desires and fallen reasons. But God's word kills. It calls to repentance. It calls you to look outside of yourself. It calls you to fix your eyes on Jesus. And so God says, and we have something more sure, the prophetic word, to which you do well to pay attention as to a lamp shining in a dark place, until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts. So listen and pay attention to God's word. Following the path of the devil, the world, and our fallen flesh continues in darkness and leads to death. And also, too, God gives you something as well in this. As Christians, you don't go searching for God apart from his word. That's another temptation that's just as deadly, too. This happens when we look for those mountaintop experiences and jump from one to another rather than finding our foundation, our sure footing, and confidence in God's word alone. Experiences are cultivated and need to be fed when we do those things, and we're constantly searching for something bigger and better and something more sure and certain, at least we think in our minds. But the reading today warns you against that, and it corrects you to seek God and to know God through his word. You don't need to see with your own eyes what Peter, James, and John saw. No, you have something more sure. You have the scriptures. And so, dear people of God, the glory of Jesus was revealed to these men, but his glory was to be seen in a saving way. They bowed down in fear. They fell on their faces as sinners do in the presence of God. But Jesus didn't stay on the mountain. Luke's gospel account of the transfiguration tells us what Jesus was talking with Moses and Elijah about. They spoke of his departure, which he was going to accomplish at Jerusalem. So Moses and this prophet Elijah were speaking of the death of Jesus, because this is where his glory was pointing them to. Jesus was going to accomplish something, your salvation. So today, as the church, you celebrate the transfiguration, and you know the dangers which are all around you, and you listen to the Son. Because the thing in all of this, in the confidence you have, is what your Lord has done for you. And so as you go through this world, as you go through this darkness, you lift up your eyes, and what do you see? You see Jesus not transfigured, but crucified for you. And he calls out, "Rise and have no fear," as he has touched you by pouring water over your head combined with God's word. You've been born from above in these waters. You've been transformed into his beloved son, his beloved daughter, and as such heirs of eternal life. And you see, dear people of God, that's what this is all about. Jesus. Jesus and him alone. Because he is the light of the world, and the darkness has not nor can it overcome him. And you are sons of light, walking in the light as you go through this world. And the world with all of its myths, with all of its slogans, which are full of empty promises, Jesus has overcome, and he gives you the victory. And he silences the devil. He silences death. His glory, the glory of Jesus, is your salvation. And that's the glorious thing that you have. So take heart and find comfort in Jesus for you. Listen to him and be of good courage, for your sin is forgiven. Your Lord says that to you today. Your sin is forgiven and you have eternal life. And he feeds you with his own body and blood. So fear not. Take heart. Jesus upholds you and strengthens you as you walk through this world. Clinging to him in faith, you will not be put to shame. And you know, too, you are not alone. Although the church may at times seem to be dwindling in number in the world around us or suffering great persecution in various parts, you're not alone. You know who you trust. You know who the Lord is. You have the promise of Jesus, which he spoke to Peter in chapter 16, right before the transfiguration on the mountain. Right before this, Jesus said, "And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." So listen to the beloved son. He says, not even the gates of hell shall prevail against his church. Not even the gates of hell will prevail against you. Believe those words, for they are true. They are the light that shines in the darkness. Rejoice too this day in your glorious Lord, and go from this place, knowing what you have all in him. He's done this for you and gives you his word, which shines as a light in the darkness, even as he is the light and you are sons of light now in this world, and will forever be in that place where there is no darkness at all. On that glorious day, you will see Jesus in all of his glory and will not be afraid. You will see him as he is and as he has fully made you to be, and together with all of his saints, you will praise him. You will live with him in the light which will not fade away. That's a transfiguration that is a new creation, no longer marred, no longer dimmed, but bright, beaming, and glorious forever. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.